So we're on the series, We Are the Body. We looked at last week, and I'm just going to go really quickly through this because we don't have time to go into detail on this. But we looked at the fact that because of the effect that Christ's death has on our lives, that we are to draw near to God, that we are to take every opportunity that we can to be honest with people about who God is and what he's done in our lives, to just share what's going on, the truth. We are to put effort into helping each other grow. There was that spur, talked about spurring each other on, that we need to be spurring each other on to love and good deeds. And that we are not meant to be alone in our faith. That what we are about as people of God is that not only have we been transformed and we are now together with Christ, if you've trusted Jesus with your life, you're a follower of Christ, you have this relationship with God that will never end. It's awesome. But it's not just a one-on-one relationship. It is that, but God intended us to operate as a body together and to be in a body of believers all running this race together. And so we looked at that. We looked at the early church and the things that they devoted themselves to. Anybody remember some of the things they devoted themselves to? Luggage. Not luggage. What are some things that they devoted themselves to? Fellowship, yeah. Which was just the idea of community and family and being together and spending time together and encouraging each other and loving each other. What else? Yes, discipleship in that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is what they had at the time. We now have the apostles' teaching in the Bible, but they didn't have that. They didn't have the New Testament, at least. And so the apostles taught them directly. Anybody remember anything else that they did? Yeah. They just, anything that they had, or anything that anyone didn't have that they needed, they would supply that and help each other out. And so in the same way, we need to be going, how can I meet needs in the other people in this body? They also looked for opportunities to get together. Remember, if you remember what we were looking at, they got together all the time. They met in the temple courts every day. They ate meals together all the time. They just decided being together was the way to go, and they were together all the time. And the last thing is that they were praising God for all the good things that God was doing. So that was last week. This week, we're going to look at how to operate in the body, what our responsibility is in the body. And so let me pray, and we will get through this. God, I just thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for the time we've already had hanging out and the time hanging out with Ross in the trash bag. That was pretty fun. And just that we can play together and hang out together and have fun together, and that we're able to look into your word together and look at what your word has to say. I pray that we would be transformed by your word tonight, and that tomorrow wouldn't just be another day, but it would be a day that's different because of what you're going to teach us tonight. I pray that you'd help me just to remain in dependence upon you as I teach your word tonight, and that that your spirit would teach us everything we need to know. I pray this all in your name. Amen. All right, let's open up to 1 Corinthians 12. That's where we're going to be tonight. We're not going to go anywhere else. We're just going to look at this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. Anybody have a page number on that? 786. Page 786. And I'm just going to start reading. If you're not quite there yet, you can just pick up where we are. Starting in verse 1. He says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He starts out saying something very, very simple. He states his topic, which his topic is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, which we're going to talk about tonight. You might not even really know that. You might have never even looked at this topic before. But he's going to talk about these things that we have gotten from the Holy Spirit. Us as believers, you guys all know that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But God didn't stop there. He actually gave us these gifts that we have now because of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that tonight. So he states his purpose. And then he says that before, when we were pagans, which only means before we knew Christ, we were influenced by who we were. Before we knew Christ, we were people who lived apart from God. And it showed up in our lives, and it was pretty clear. But he says, when the Spirit comes, when the Spirit's living inside of you and you're dependent upon the Holy Spirit, your life is different. You'll say things differently. You'll do things differently. You'll live life differently. And so it makes sense that if you're walking by the Spirit, if you're dependent upon the Spirit, you are not going to say things that are contrary to the truth about who God is and about God's Word. No one who's walking by the Spirit is going to curse God. Makes sense, right? That's pretty simple to know. That when we're under the influence of the Spirit, we will say the truth about who God is because we're under His influence. That's all He's saying. Being under the influence of the Holy Spirit changes us. And then He says this, verse 4. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. He says there are different kinds of gifts that we get from the Holy Spirit. There's just these things that we get from the Holy Spirit. And that we all have different things that we get from the Holy Spirit. It's like at Christmas. Usually not everybody gets the same gift at Christmas. Sometimes that happens. Like your parents want to give, all the kids all the same thing. But usually you get individualized gifts. It's the same thing with the Spirit. We've all gotten an individualized gifts. Every single one of us. And he says there are different kinds of service, which service sounds weird. It's almost like serving or something. But the New American Standard Version actually has a better word for it. It says there are different kinds of ministries. That actually makes so much more sense to me. That when we're a body together, when we meet together, there's a whole bunch of different ministries that we have, that you have and that I have. And the Spirit has given you a ministry, at least one ministry. But we all have the same Lord, right? Makes sense. There are different kinds of working, which is really the word workings, which is like results. There are different kinds of results that come out in our lives when we're walking by the Spirit. When we're all dependent upon the Spirit, we're not like robots and that we all say the same thing and we all walk together and go, nah, 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 and we all talk the same and we all do the same thing. We're all different. We're all individuals. And you know what? The way the Spirit comes out in our lives is different. It's never going to be contrary to God's Word. It's not like, hey, you can be walking by the Spirit and be sinning, and I'm going to be walking by the Spirit and be doing the right thing. That's not the way it works. But when we're walking by the Spirit, we're all kind of unique and individual, and the effect that the Holy Spirit has on our life is different. But in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same God that's working through all of us. He says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, which means the way the Spirit comes out in our lives is given for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is for all of our good. See, every single one of you guys have spiritual gifts. You might not know what those are. You might not even know how to use those, but every single one of you has spiritual gifts, and the purpose of those spiritual gifts is to benefit everyone else in the body. You can look around and go, my spiritual gifts are for you and for you and for you and for you and for you, for everyone else. Your spiritual gifts are not to benefit you. They were never intended for that. And that's the first thing to understand about spiritual gifts, is you were given spiritual gifts so you could serve the body. That's the reason why you have them. It's like it's like being a part of a choir. I've been a part of a lot of choirs. If you have like 40 or 50 people in a choir, they're not all singing the same note. They're all singers, and they all use their voices, and they all sing, but bass singers are not going to sing the soprano notes. They can't even do that. They're not even capable of doing that. And the sopranos aren't going to sing the bass notes. They're not even capable of doing that. They've been given a voice that can sing in the range that they're going to sing. And when they sing all together, it's beautiful. But they're all singing different things, unique things. And when they sing together, they create this beautiful harmony. And that's the same idea that's behind what God has planned for the church, is that we're all different. We all have different gifts. We all have different ways that we can serve the body. And we're not expected to be all the same in the way that we serve the body. But when we're all using our gifts, it's this amazing harmony that happens in the body. He goes on in verse 8 and gives some examples of this. He says, to one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. To still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So he goes in and gives some examples, and understand, first of all, that this is not a list. He's not giving a complete list of all the spiritual gifts that are out there. I honestly believe, and there are people that would disagree with me on this, I honestly believe that there is no list in the Bible that even covers all the spiritual gifts. That's not even why they intended to put these in here. He's just giving some examples of ways that people serve the body because the Spirit is working in them. The first one he says is the message of wisdom, which that means that certain people in the body have the ability to look at truth, at biblical truth, and they are able to have insights into biblical truth that most people don't see initially. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not something that they take from left field and go, this is what that's saying, and you go, I don't see that that's what that's saying. And they go, well, I have this special insight. It's not that. It's something that they look at the passage, and you look at the passage, and they are able to be insightful about that passage, and you go, yeah, that is what that's saying, huh? They have a special ability to do that. Now, not everyone has that special ability. Only certain people do. Only certain people that have been gifted by the Spirit in that way. And they can use that. He says the message of knowledge, which is the someone who has the special ability to apply the Bible to specific situations in life. A lot of times people who have this are good counselors, are good advice givers. They give good biblical advice because they can hear someone and go, this is what's going on in my life, and this is what I'm struggling with. And they go, you know what? Ephesians 2, that talks about this situation that you're talking about. Let's read that together and take a look at that. They're able to see through these situations that people are going through and go, I have a passage to share with you about that. I know how this can apply to your life. And they have a special ability to do that. Not everyone has that ability. And by the way, if you don't have that ability, you're not expected to operate like that. If you're not a soprano, you're not a soprano, you're a bass. And it's okay to be a bass. It's okay to use your gifts the way you're gifted in the body. He goes on and says, the gift of faith, which is, you know, we all have faith, we all have trust in God, but this gift of the Spirit is someone who has has unusual trust in God, something that's beyond what most believers have. Melissa's brother, my brother-in-law, my best friend in the world, Mark, has the gift of faith. It is unbelievable. I mean, I have faith in God, and I believe I have a lot of faith in God, but his faith in God is just so beyond. Just the fact that there's just such certainty about everything that he says and does, and he steps out in faith so consistently over and over again. It's so beyond anything that we can create. It's from the Spirit. He has that. There's the gift of healing, which is just like it sounds. It's healing physical sickness. There are people that have been gifted throughout the centuries. I personally believe this is not a gift that God uses a lot these days. There's a lot of proof, and I actually believe in that proof, that God used certain gifts real early in the church, and it was specifically to give power to the message. Like the apostles were speaking the truth. But this was new truth. This was new information that a lot of people hadn't heard. When Paul went into cities that had never heard the gospel before, God gave him the ability to heal people and to do this some miraculous things so that it would substantiate his message that he had to bring from God. But it's not saying that God couldn't gift someone this way now. But this gift is a gift of healing. It's someone who can heal a sickness or heal some sort of handicap. They're able to do that. It's miraculous. It's beyond. All of these things are miraculous, by the way. All these things are beyond us to create it. Verse 10, he talks about miraculous powers, which is the ability to do miracles. It's the gift of miracles. You can do something that's supernatural, whatever that would be. You guys get the idea on that. He says, talks about prophecy, which is this unusual ability to boldly declare God's message to the people. It's very much exemplified in the prophets of the Old Testament. They spoke God's message boldly, even when it was horrible what they had to say and not very popular. They would boldly speak it out. Distinguishing between spirits is the ability to detect whether someone is speaking from the Holy Spirit or is not speaking from the Holy Spirit. It's someone who can, there's lots of people who have been false prophets over the years who have spoken things for their own benefit, spoken things that are spiritual, things that they say maybe are from the Bible, but they are not from God. And it's someone who has the ability to detect that. They have this ability to detect whether a message is from the Holy Spirit or not. It talks about tongues and interpretations of tongues, which just means tongues was a supernatural ability, or could be now a supernatural ability, to speak a language that you have never spoken before. That you would go into, that you would go to France, and you would be speaking to someone who can't speak English, and you would be sharing the gospel with them, and you would be speaking English, it would be coming out of your mouth, or you would be intending it to come out of your mouth as English, and French is coming out of your mouth. Pretty cool. Supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit. Used most clearly in the Bible, it's used on the day of Pentecost, that Peter got up, spoke his message, and the apostles were speaking and sharing the gospel, and everyone, there's people from all different nations, everyone was hearing it in their own language. They didn't know those languages. They were just speaking in those languages. Supernatural ability. Interpretation of tongues means that I can hear someone speaking a different language that I don't know, and I can interpret what they're saying. So someone is speaking in French. I've never heard French. I've heard French, but I don't know what French is. I've never learned French. They're going to speak French, and I can tell you what they're saying. Interpretation of tongues. There are so many other ones listed in the Bible. There's service, there's teaching, there's encouragement, there's leadership, there's helps, there's administration, evangelism, the gift of being a pastor, the gift of singleness. You guys will look at a lot of these things in your So What groups tonight. The point of all this is not to go, oh, which one of these is that he's talking about here is my gift. The question, the thing that we need to understand from this passage, and the whole point of what he's saying here is, the point that's on your handout, which is each Christian is gifted in a unique way directly by God to serve the body. That you are gifted in a way that no person who's not a follower of Christ could ever be gifted in. There might be other Christians that have similar gifts to you or a similar gift to you, but you are gifted by God directly by Him through His Holy Spirit that is for serving the body. That is the thing to understand from what he's saying here. We go on in verse 12, and it says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we all were baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, either Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. He's using an analogy here to help us understand what the body of Christ, or what a group of believers getting together is about. And he uses the idea of a body here. He says, we are, just as a body, just as our bodies have a bunch of different parts, right? We have legs, we have feet, we have arms, we have hands, we have a head, we have all these internal parts, that there's so many different parts, but we all form one body. He's talking about unity here, that we are one body, we are all together in unity as a body. And even though we have all these different gifts that he was just talking about, even though we're all gifted uniquely, we are all still one body. He says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? He's again using this example of the body, but he's saying, imagine if your body, your hand, suddenly grew a mouth for some reason. I don't know how your hand would talk, but your hand would go, you know what? I don't need the foot. To do my job as a hand, I don't need a foot. It'd be pretty ridiculous to do that, right? Or if your hand even said, you know what, I don't need an arm. I don't need a brain. I don't need a leg. It's still part of the body, but why would your body do that? Your body works all together all the time to keep your blood flowing, to keep you moving, to keep you thinking, to keep you doing the things that keep you alive and keep you operating as a human being. You need your body to all be intact. You need your body so much that when someone loses a part of their body, like if someone loses their arm, have you guys heard of phantom pain before? Yeah. What happens is, say I lose my arm from here up, okay? No arm, I'm just a stub. My brain still makes it feel like I have an arm. And that can happen for years and years, like 20, 30 years. It can happen for the rest of the person's life. And sometimes what happens actually is that your hand that's not there starts to hurt. It can be really painful, actually. You need your body so much that when your body loses a part of the body, it almost is traumatic to your body. So traumatic that you're going, your brain still thinks you have a hand, even though you don't have a hand. In the same way, we need every part of the body. And when we lose part of our body, it hurts. Or when part of our body just decides not to be a part of the body. Can you imagine if your arm just one day said, okay, I've decided I'm going on strike, my arm, I'm not going to be a part of the body anymore. You're just going to walk around, your arm's just going to be hanging there and doing nothing. I still need my arm, but if my arm decides not to operate like an arm's supposed to operate, or my hand decides not to operate like a hand's supposed to operate, it's going to hurt me. It's almost like I don't even have an arm if it's not going to participate in what my body's doing. The same thing goes for us. We cannot say, oh, you know what? I'm not needed. You know what? There are parts of the body that are needed. You know, we need so what leaders at youth group? Because we need someone who's going to lead our discussion. That's a needed part of the body. And you know what? We need Nate because if we're going to learn anything, if we're going to get taught anything about the Bible, we need Nate to get up there and teach us. Because if he doesn't, then we're just going to sit there and we're going to be staring at the wall forever. That's an important part of the body. That's the part of the body we need. But me, not really needed so much. God's saying when you do that, when you respond that way, it's like your arm saying, you know what, I'm not needed, so I'm just going to check out. It hurts the rest of the body. When you're not deciding to serve the body with the gifts that you have, and all of you, as we looked at already, are very gifted. Not because you're special, but because you have the Holy Spirit who's decided to hand you some gifts. And God has placed you, verse 18 it says, but in fact God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, that's you, just as he wanted them to be. Do you understand that you've been placed into this group? I know that you guys go, yeah, I chose to be here tonight. Yeah, you did choose to be here tonight, but you know what? God placed you here. Even though you made that choice to come here tonight, God's placed you here, and God's placed you here on purpose for a very specific reason, to operate with your gifts in a very specific way. And if you don't show up, you being the hand, you being the right hand is not going to show up. If you decide not to be a right hand tonight, there's not going to be another right hand that comes along and becomes the right hand, because God's placed you in this body exactly how he wants you to be, exactly how he wants it to be. We need your giftedness in this body. We need it. Or we can't operate well as a body. It hurts us when we don't have your giftedness. Going on in verse 20, he says, as it is, there are many parts of the body, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. He says a lot there, but I want to hone in on just some real basic things that he says here. He says, in verse 25, he says, so there should be no division in the body, but that all its parts should have equal concern for one another. See, a hand can decide, you know what, I'm not going to be a hand today. Or an arm decides, I'm not needed, so I'm not going to be a part. And we've talked about that. But the hand could also say, I don't need you, foot. I don't need you, arm. I don't need you, leg. Hands are really what it's all about. The gifts that I have, the gifts that I can bring, are really the important gifts in the body. I'm really a necessary part. But when you do that, oh, I didn't notice I put that one up there. You look like this. Do you guys like that? Do you guys know what that is? It's a face. But it's a pretty ugly face. It's pretty cool that they do that, but I think it's a very, very ugly looking face. And that's how we look when we decide, you know what, hands are what it's all about. Hands, my gifts are what it's all about. And so you know what? Hey, if Alyssa doesn't show up, no big deal. If Heather doesn't show up, no big deal. Or even worse, they show up and we go, you know what? They're not really needed. What's needed is me. What's needed is what I have to offer. Just don't do that. Because remember that God has placed us, each one of us in this body, exactly how he wanted us to be. And we should have equal concern. I love that word equal, because there's no question about that word. It means that we should all treat each other and we should all respect each other's gifts and we should all be excited about what every other person offers equally. I would venture to guess that maybe at some point that you guys have gone, I really want to go to youth group tonight because I really like the series we're going through and I really want to hear Nate's going to teach about tonight. Which is great. But do you have that same equal concern and that same equal excitement about going, you know what, I'm excited about what Ross is going to do in my life tonight when I come. I need him in my life. I need what Alyssa's going to give me tonight. I need to go to youth group because Alyssa, she encourages me. Every time I see her, she's just encouraging me. I need that in my life. And maybe some of you guys go, no, I haven't really done that, but maybe that comes from us not using our gifts in the body. Maybe the reason is that we haven't stepped out and we haven't decided to serve with our gifts, and we're coming to youth group for what we can get and not for what we can give. And so maybe other people don't even realize the benefit that they can get from your gifts because you haven't started using your gifts with them. Let's use our gifts with each other, and let's also value the gifts that we can get from each other. We need the unique giftedness of others in our lives. We should never be ones that say, you know what? Teaching, that's really what we need. That's the gift, that's the important gift, teaching. We need to be all about teaching. See, the Corinthian church, they were falling totally into this. They were all about this gift of speaking in tongues. And these guys had this gift, and it's an amazing gift. Everyone's like, wow, that is amazing that guy can speak my language. And they all wanted that gift, and they were consumed with it. They were like, if you don't have the gift of tongues, like the people that did have the gift of tongues, that did these amazing things, like speaking in languages that they didn't even know, people were like, those are the guys. Those guys are awesome. Those guys are what it's all about. My gift, not so important. I don't have the gift of tongues. And I think we do that with different gifts. We do that with teaching sometimes, I think. But we need to understand that all of our gifts are important, and we need to value all of our gifts. And we need to understand that we suffer when we don't get our gifts, when we don't get the gifts from each other. I suffer when you guys aren't using your gifts. I do. And Kaylee suffers when you guys aren't using your gifts. And Garrett's going to suffer when you guys don't use your gifts. And Katie's going to suffer when you guys don't use your gifts. We need them. And the last thing here, I'm just going to go through real quickly here. Verse 28 says, and God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, or different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. He's basically just reiterating all of the examples he was giving by saying, you need to use these examples in real life, in real giftedness, in your body. That's the important thing. But at the end, he says, and I will show you the most excellent way. This is the most excellent way. 1 Corinthians 13. Love chapter. This is how it starts. It says, if I speak in human or angelic tongues, he's talking about gifts, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I can fathom and I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, then I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You guys have probably heard that a bunch of times, might not have even known the context, but this is the context. He's talking about gifts, that we all have gifts, we all need to use gifts in the body, but he says the most important thing, the most excellent way, the most excellent thing about spiritual gifts, the most important thing that you need to understand is spiritual gifts are there so that you can love other people. And if you use your spiritual gifts out of a desire that's anything but to serve and love the people in the body, it's complete waste of your time. So the point is, don't forget to use your gifts in love. Because love is what it's all about, right? We're talking about love this year. We started out with love. Love is what it's all about, loving God and loving other people. And spiritual gifts are all about love. Questions on the bottom, guys. First one is, how are you gifted to serve the body? You might go, I don't know. You guys are going to look at some things in So What Time that'll help you maybe to go, oh, I might be gifted in that way to serve the body. My encouragement to you is, regardless of whether you can put terms on your gifts, names on your gifts, just serve the body the best way that you can, and your gifts will come out. They will. So how are you gifted to serve the body? Are you allowing those around you to exercise their giftedness on you? Are you someone who goes, you know, I have too much pride for you to be able to serve me, for you to be able to encourage me, for you to be able to love me with your gifts? And the last question is, are you using your giftedness to serve the body? Because remember, the whole purpose, the whole reason why the Holy Spirit decided to give you gifts was so you could serve the body. It's the reason why you have them. What are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? Go ahead and fill in at least one down there, guys. God, just thinking back to when I was a high school student, I remember this just being a tough thing to get my mind around, to get my mind around how to practically apply. I didn't even really know how I was gifted. I hadn't really served the body enough to really understand the way I was gifted. God, you were faithful to me that as I served, you just started to reveal ways that you had uniquely gifted me to serve the body. And I pray that you'd start even tonight to do that with these students, that we could understand more fully what you've intended for us, that we have a responsibility to serve the body. But for some of us, we just go, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't even know how. I pray that you'd start to show us that. And pray that you give us a desire to serve the body, and that you give us humility to be served by other people in the body, and that we would start to move towards being a body that reflects what you intended for us. That we would be working together just like our physical bodies do, that our hands and our arms and our brains and our heart and our legs all just work together, and it's even effortless now for us. Our bodies are just so used to it, they just do it automatically almost. That we would start to get to that point that it's just effortless. That those who are encouragers would encourage, and those who are teachers would teach, and those who are servants would serve, and that we would just continue to grow together as a body in our understanding of what spiritual gifts are all about, and grow in our ability to serve each other. Pray that as we go to So What Time, that this um, that would be a starting point of making this real practical in our lives. Pray this all in your name.